Amen. I appreciate that special. I hope it is well with your soul today. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. We're also going to spend a little time in James chapter 2, if you want to find that as well. We've begun a new series entitled The Love of Christ. We understand that the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And so when we see that Christ died for us, that from this moment on, from henceforth, we should live for the one who died for us and rose again. So Galatians chapter 5 this morning, we want to talk about the fact that love works. Now, some of you may take note that I mentioned Galatians and James. A lot of people have thought that these books are opposed to one another, that these letters don't go together very well, that they stand opposed to one another, that Galatians is all about grace and justification through grace, and James is all about works, and they just don't go together. But I want to show you today from the Scriptures that they absolutely go together. And when you trust in Christ, when you have real faith in Christ, that faith will work. And it has to do so by love. Without love, everything that we do is pointless. Without love, it just doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul spent some time explaining that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that if he doesn't have love, it doesn't matter. If he gives himself to be burned at the stake, it doesn't matter if he doesn't have love. So love is absolutely supreme. It's the supreme commandment. It's absolutely essential for everything that we do in Christ and in his church and in our lives and for his glory and in his name. Now, Galatians was a letter that was written by Paul. As a matter of fact, it was his first epistle, his first letter that he was written. After his first missionary journey, he came back to his sending church, Antioch in Syria. There were a couple of Antiochs, Antioch in Pisidia and Antioch in Syria. And he came back to his home church, and while he was there, he got word of some things that were going on at in the churches of Galatia, in that area of Asia Minor, and he sent this letter to confront those who had come in preaching false doctrine. And what they were Judaizers who came in preaching that you needed to be circumcised and keep the law in order to earn and maintain your salvation. So false teachers had come in preaching a works righteousness salvation. And dear friends, that was not true then and it's not true today. Nobody has ever been or will ever be saved by keeping the law. How do you know? Because nobody has kept the law except for Jesus. Everyone else has fallen short. Everyone else has sinned. We understand today that you don't get saved by keeping the law, by your good works, and you cannot keep yourself saved by doing good works. This letter is really all about justification by grace. It's justification by grace. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul, he defends himself and as a messenger, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He defends, it's a vindication of the messenger in chapters 1 and 2. In chapters 3 and 4, and it's an explanation of the message. In chapters 3 and 4, he clearly defines the gospel, that it's by grace through faith. And then we see in chapters 5 and 6, it's an application. And so we're picking up in chapter 5. He's already defended himself and his apostleship. He's already clearly lined out that salvation is and justification only comes by the grace of God. It's through faith, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And now he's saying, since you have been saved, justified by faith in Christ, this is what you need to do with that truth. So I would encourage you this afternoon to go back and read Galatians in its entirety. And it will help you. J. Vernon McGee said this, and I think it sums it up nicely. Not only is a sinner saved by grace through faith, but the saved sinner lives by grace. Grace is a way to life and a way of life. And so we understand today that we're saved by grace, but we ought to continue in grace. That we continue in living for Him by the grace that He has given us. That we don't earn our salvation and we don't keep our salvation through our works. It's only by His mercy and grace. So, if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter 5. I want to talk to you about the truth that love works. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever ye are, of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, pray your Spirit would move. Pray you'd convict hearts today. Help us to grow in our love for you and our love for one another. And Lord, I pray that every person here that's of the age of accountability has been justified by your grace alone. That they're not trusting in themselves, their works, their good deeds, their religiosity in any way, but they trust alone in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. Lord, I pray for those that are unsaved that they'll repent and believe the gospel today, and for those that are saved that they would follow you in baptism and identify with you publicly and serve you faithfully in the church. Thank you for your church. Help us to find our place here and serve you faithfully. Please bless your word now and help, for I'm nothing without you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Let's go back to verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, we're talking about love in this message today, and that real love works. In verse 6, he says, faith which worketh by love. And in chapter 4, you find out that we're justified by faith. It's not works. Listen, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and you and I are justified. We're made right with God through faith in Christ alone, no mixture of works whatsoever. Amen. It's vital that you understand that. You're not going to get saved by being good. You're not going to stay saved by being good. God's not going to love you any more than he loves you right now. And he'll never love you any less than he loves you right now. His love is perfect, and it doesn't depend on you and I. And so we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You know, where did that liberty come from? Where is that freedom? We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the condemnation of God's law. Listen, God's law was against you. We think of the law as a good thing, and it is a good thing. It's a right thing. It's a true thing, but it's not your friend. The law stands in opposition to who we are. We're sinners. We're offenders of the law. Listen, the criminal doesn't like the legal system. The criminal isn't happy that it's wrong to murder and to steal and to do all of those wrong things. The law stands in opposition to the criminal, and you need to understand today, without Christ, you were a criminal. And so the law was against us, and we were against God, and the law of God was against us, but Christ has set us free from the law, free from death and hell and the grave, and we can stand fast in that liberty. You see, the love of God is unchanging. God's love is unchanging. We can stand fast. We can stay right here in his love because his love isn't going to change. You know, not everybody's like that. Not everybody's love is unconditional. Not everybody's love is unchanging. I told you before about the girl who broke up with her boyfriend, actually her fiancé, she broke off the engagement and she wrote him a letter later because she regretted it. And I'm sure all of you fellas that have been dumped, those girls regretted it, right? Probably not. Okay. She wrote to Tommy and said, "Dearest Tommy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery." About right, isn't it? Just about right. Now listen, that's not an indication of any of the hearts of any of the ladies here today. I'm just telling you that people are fickle and their emotions and their love are all over the place, but the love of Christ is unchanging. Amen. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. The false teachers that came into the churches of Galatia there in Asia Minor, came and taught that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved, and you had to keep the law in order to stay saved. Now, Jesus nailed the law that was against us to his cross, and we're free from the works of the law, which could never save us because we could never keep them." And I want you to see very quickly some truths about what happens if you trust in your works to save you. They came in and said, "You need to get circumcised, you need to keep the law." By the way, these men could never keep the law. They didn't keep the law, but they wanted to impose the law on these Gentile Christians. If you trust in your works, you'll be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you trust in your works, you'll be in bondage. You'll never be able to live up to the standards of God's perfect law. Listen, if you believe that you had to keep the law in order to keep yourself saved, you are putting yourself back under the bondage of the law, which you could never fulfill. And I know a lot of people who really believe that they have to live above sin in order to stay saved, and I feel sorry for those people. Amen. I've noticed a couple of things about those who believe they've got to live up to the law and keep the law to stay saved. There's a couple of results that come from that. One is they'll lie to themselves about their own sin. Amen. They belittle their sin. They may do sin, and there may be sin in their life, but their sin isn't bad enough to make them lost. Now, other people they see are losing their salvation right and left because their sins are worse, but they themselves, they will belittle their sin. But Galatians is plain, friends. If you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all. James lets us know that if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. And you may say, "Well, listen, I never murdered anybody," but you've had adultery in your heart, then you're guilty. If you've never stolen anything, but you've lied, then you're guilty. And so many people will belittle their sins. Other people will just flat out deny their sin at all. They will deceive themselves into thinking they are sinlessly perfect. I have a family member who genuinely believes to this day, she's deceived herself into believing that since she got saved, she's never committed to sin. You know what she does when she says, "I haven't sinned since I was saved"? Well, she just lied to herself. And according to 1 John, she's made God a liar. Friends, those are kind of the natural conclusions of somebody who's justified by keeping the law. They've put themselves under the bondage of sin, and when you can't live up to it, you get to this place where you have to deceive yourself or you give up. Give up. Do you know how many people I've seen leave churches who teach that you have to keep yourself saved? They leave them, they leave the faith because they know they can never measure up. They're not going to lie to themselves. They're not going to pretend that they're without sin. They know they don't measure up. And so they give up. Friends, this heresy is dangerous. It's a false gospel. And Paul said in our text, "I would that they were cut off." He said, "I wish that they were just gone that teach this heresy." If you trust in your works, friends, you are putting yourself back in the bondage of sin. If you trust in your works, verse 2, Christ shall profit you nothing. I don't know about you, but when I read these words, it hurts my heart. Listen, Christ is not worth anything to you if you're keeping yourself saved by your works. That's a harsh statement, isn't it? That's a gut-wrenching statement. When your faith is in Christ, when He's everything, when you're really born again, that's a harsh statement. That's a hard thing to hear, that Christ is worth nothing if you're going to keep yourself saved. And that's the truth. That's the truth. If you think you're going to keep yourself saved, if you're trusting in your circumcision, you're trusting in your keeping of the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. Verse 3, if you trust in your works, you must obey the entire law. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you want to trust in keeping law, being circumcised and keeping the law, going back to the old covenant, then guess what? You don't get to pick and choose which parts you want to keep and which parts you don't. You have to be under the whole thing. I don't know when the last time you read Leviticus was, but dear friend, you'd never make it. No one ever would. You would all be in violation of the law right now. Most of you have blended clothes on. It's not just 100% cotton. That's sin under the law. Listen, God's standard is so high that it's impossible to keep, and that's the whole point. It's the whole point. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever are justified by the law. Christ shall profit you nothing, and He's become of no effect. Friends, these are hard verses just to read. Jesus has no effect on you that are justified by the law. If you are made right with God by the keeping of the law, then the death and resurrection of Jesus has no impact on your life. It makes no difference in your life. Do you understand what He's saying? Either you trust Christ alone or you don't. And if you don't trust Christ alone, then Christ has no impact on your life at all. Either He's everything or He's nothing. If you trust in works, He goes on to say, you're fallen from grace. Ye are fallen from grace. Now, I remember as a young man being in church and having some friends that believe different things. I remember some of them talking and using this phrase sometimes, fallen from grace. He fell from grace. You could fall from grace. And man, that messed me up. I thought, oh, that sounds terrible and sounds biblical, right? But it's ironic that those who would say you can lose your salvation, they say you've fallen from grace, that's exactly the opposite of what this passage is teaching. They're taking this phrase completely out of context and twisting around to try to say something exactly the opposite of what it's actually saying. If you leave grace to trust in keeping the law, being justified by the law, being justified by your works, you have left off grace. You've departed from grace. Friends, if you're going to be right with God, it's not going to be by keeping the law. If you're going to be right with God, it's not going to be by being circumcised. If you're going to be right with God, be justified before God, the only way that's going to happen is to be made free by faith in Christ alone. Look at verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith. We are made right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now listen, I'm guilty sometimes of over-explaining the gospel because I'm so scared somebody's going to be a false convert. Does that worry you at all? I don't want any Matthew 7 Christians in here. I don't want anybody in this room to stand before the Lord one day and Him say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I don't want that for you. I want you to be saved and be absolutely sure that you're saved. And so a lot of times we talk it through so much, and sometimes I may be guilty of overcomplicating it, and I don't want to do that. At the end of the day, it's this. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself, and Jesus died to pay for your sin. You must trust in Him, and you must trust in Him alone. That's it. That's it. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. Just trust in Him. You're not going to be justified by your works. You cannot hope to keep the whole law. You can't even keep a portion of the law. So we've got to trust in him. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. We're justified, we're made right, we are given righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith works by love. Now I want you to see this. It was love that brought Jesus to the earth to live a sinless life and to do the work that the Father sent him to do. Love sent Jesus to this world. Love put Jesus on the cross. Love allowed him to conquer death and hell and the grave. It was the love of Christ for us that accomplished the work that he did. You guys with me? If you're going to do anything for Christ, you must do it by faith through love. Through love. Verse 7 says, they started out well. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I want to tell you that a lot of people have started well. And Paul said, when I was there and preached the gospel, you ran well. You trusted in Christ alone. You started going well. Who did hinder you? And I want to remind you that almost every time you get hindered in your run for Christ, in your race for Christ, it's somebody. Somebody. People come in and influence us away from the Lord. So we better be careful who our influences are. Guard your influences. And by the way, the people that influence you aren't just the people you go to school with or go to work with or your family and friends. The influences, the people who influence you are also the people who you listen to on the radio and who you watch on the television and in the movies. Who you interact with on social media. Those are people who will influence your life, and they're either going to influence you towards Christ or they're going to influence you away from Christ. You better guard your influences. We have more opportunity to be influenced by more people today than ever before. It doesn't take long to talk to somebody to figure out who their influences are. You can tell just a couple of minutes by talking to somebody. I can tell whether they're a CNN guy or a Fox News guy. You can tell which lies they're believing. I'm not making a pitch for either one of them. I think they're all liars. Somebody said something the other day about the fact that we need somebody to have a neutral opinion, and I want you to know that nobody has a neutral worldview. Nobody. Everybody's skewed. I don't make any apologies for that. My worldview is based on the Scriptures. I'm a Christian. I'm trying to follow Christ and live for Christ, and I'm going to believe His Word, and it's going to influence what I believe about everything else. I'm not going to apologize for that, and I'm not going to pretend like I don't have that skewed view of things. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to apologize for it, but let's not pretend like nobody else has an agenda. Nobody else's worldview isn't skewed by what they believe. That's the reality that we live in. But this is truth. This is truth. Nothing else is. And by the way, the devil always sprinkles in a little bit of truth with his lies. So you better pay attention. You better dig deep. And can I just challenge you guys that I know not everybody's a social media person, but a lot of you are on Facebook. Be careful about the things that you share and like. Pay attention. Pay attention to where it comes from. Read the whole thing. Don't just read the headline. Please, pay attention. I know some of you have shared things one time and then you, because you liked the headline, but then you looked at where it came from and you ought to have been embarrassed. Pay attention to what you're associating yourself with. That was all for free. Social media 101. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Look at verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. So he says, listen, I've got confidence in you that your mind is going to be right, that you're going to come through this. And I know that God is going to deal with those false teachers. He's going to judge them. He's going to deal with them. And I'm ready for them to be cut off. I understand all of that. And I'm glad for that. But then in verse 11, he has this statement. If I preach circumcision, then I wouldn't be persecuted. If I just went along with it, why am I suffering the reproach of the cross? If I let circumcision back in, the Jews wouldn't hate me. If I compromised, then I wouldn't be persecuted. But I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm not going to bring circumcision back in to save a little trouble. I'm going to stand for the cross of Jesus Christ, because it's only by the cross that we're set free. Verse 13. See, we've come a long way just to get to this verse. I don't know if you realize that. I've been trying to preach fast. I hope you were listening fast. You have to understand where we come from before you get to this. You have to understand that we are justified by faith. You have to understand that when you trust in works, it destroys everything about the gospel. You have to understand all of that before you can get to here, okay? I hope you understand that you are only made right in the sight of God by faith in Christ alone. Amen. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. God has given us liberty. We have Christian liberty. We have been given grace, but we're not to use the grace God has given us in order to sin. Amen. We're to use that liberty to serve. But by love, serve one another. This is not a new doctrine. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God has always put love and service together. Joshua 22 and verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Isaiah 56, verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. The Lord God which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. And I want you to know, as Gentiles today, we can come freely to God and serve him, and he accepts us on the person of Jesus Christ. But we are not saved to sit. If we love God, we will serve God. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. If we love God, we will serve God. And if you've been saved by faith in Christ, you love him. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. How is it that we're supposed to love one another? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is not new. It was in the old covenant. It was in the law. When they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't make that up. He pulled it straight from the law. Because everything's fulfilled in this. If you love your neighbor, you'll treat your neighbor right. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. All of those things are taken care of when you love your neighbor. I want you to notice this. But if you bite and devour one another. In verse 15 in our text, do you guys suppose that he's really talking about cannibalism in the church? No. Do you know what he's talking about, biting and devouring? We don't do this by literally eating each other. Some of you are biters, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what you do with your words. Do you realize how important it is what we do with our words? How we talk to and how we talk about one another? We're to love one another. And how we love one another is going to be evident in our words. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. And that's not just, you know, we talk about that a lot when somebody cusses or they've got bad language. That's not all that it's talking about. When you love God, it's going to show with your lips. When you love your neighbor, it's going to show with your lips. What we say and maybe what we don't say. And I want you to look very quickly at James chapter 2. Look at verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. James in chapter 3 has a lot to say about the tongue. But that follows on the footsteps of chapter 2, which says this in verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy which mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 26 at the end says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I want you to get this as plainly as I can say it. You are not saved by works. But if you have truly put your faith in Christ, you will work for him. Amen. And all of that has to be through love. We love him because he first loved us. And because he loved us, we're to love one another as we love ourselves. I'd like to preach another hour about the practicalities of how we ought to love one another and the practicalities of what to do. But God sums it up very well for us when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you were cold, you'd get a blanket. If you were hungry, you'd get something to eat. If you were thirsty, you'd get something to drink. If you were tired, you would get rest. See, loving your neighbor is just as simple as paying attention to others. If you were sad, you'd want some encouragement. If you were hurting, you'd want some help. And brethren, if we as a church can't look around and see the needs of one another and do all that we can to meet those needs, how dwelleth the love of Christ in us? There's got to be more than just the cliche, how are you doing, or we'll pray for you. We've got to meet the needs of others. We've got to have a right heart towards one another. We've got to have forgiveness for one another. As I wrap up this sermon, I just want to do a quick poll. How many of you have ever been hurt by someone else in the church? we have to forgive. We can't pretend to love somebody if we're not willing to forgive them. You say, well, Brother Isaac, you don't know what they did. Christian ought not act like that. Church members shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't be unforgiving. But the truth is, friends, we all have done wrong and been done wrong. And we have to have a heart of forgiveness. We have to have a heart that wants to bear one another's burdens. But if we're too self-centered to care about other people's burdens, if we're too prideful to forgive other people, there's no hope of us living and working in love together. This morning, there may be something on your heart. You may be hurt. You may be offended. You may be whatever. I would encourage you to forgive no matter what. Unconditional forgiveness. I would encourage you to open your eyes and look around. You may be hurting. You may be going through a hard time, but I promise you someone else is hurting worse. And you'd be amazed at how therapeutic it is for your hurts to help someone else with their hurts. We've got to start focusing on others. And it's an amazing thing as you start loving others, how God brings people in to love you, and we grow together in love. It all comes from faith in Christ, and it all works through love. Let's stand together as our musicians come. He died for us because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We can live for him and we can live for one another. And the greatest way that you can show your love for Christ is by loving one another. If he's convicting your heart this morning, there's anything you need to get right with him, I plead with you to come right now while we sing.
Page 560.
560.